What am I listening to? You don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know what I am listening to.
Naughty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nutras, and we've got 2014, a year in review for you. With me today, as always, I have...
Hi, I'm Tech.
That was nice and gravelly.
Yes. It's that time of year.
It was filled with desire.
Desire. To review the movies I've watched this year.
So, just off the top of your head, what are some of your favorites, what things that happened this year?
Well, if I could start with a serious note.
Yes.
And talk about the things I didn't like that happened this year.
Oh, are we going to talk about that soon?
Yeah, but we got to kind of start with it, don't we?
Yeah, I guess we do, actually.
It's been a sad year for the Nutty Bites family and for the rest of the podcasting community as we have lost two dear friends, co-hosts, and compatriots in the art, I guess. So, sadly, we lost P.G. Holyfield this summer, and very recently the loss of Bob DeGrand, who was a panelist on this show a few times, I think.
Oh, yes. He had... Not only was he a panelist on this show, but I actually have feedback that I will be reading from him tonight that he posted earlier. He passed away early in January of 2015. So technically, maybe it doesn't really count as part of 2014's year in review. But it is worth mentioning, especially since I will be reading his feedback on air. And I would also like to dedicate this episode to Bob in his memory.
Yes.
Bob was the host of the Dexter Cast. He was the host of Clone Dance Party. He was the host of the Prisoner intro cast in the Village, which he and Shane found their newbies in the Mixed Nutcase group on Facebook, which kind of made me really happy to help facilitate that. He also had a wrestling podcast, and he was known throughout the community. If you were part of the podcasting community group on Facebook, you've seen him post in there. If you were part of the Introcast group on Facebook, you saw lots of posts from him in there. If you listen to any Introcasts, you probably have heard his voice because he was very passionate about TV. He was a frequent voice on Down Below. He was a newbie listener along with the McKinley podcast, which was for Freaks and Geeks. I actually selected which show he should be a guest on for that because he had never seen any. So I picked one that was I'm with the band because he was a musician. So he has quite a large background there. He was just one of these really great guys. I'm sure you've all heard his very distinctive Jersey accent on my podcast and several others.
Yes, definitely. We miss you, Bob. Yeah. But I will say this. Let's start off here. Mm. How awesome is Emma Peel?
Emma Peel is pretty darn awesome. Yes, we cannot forget his love for Emma Peel. Anytime I would ask a nutty question of the day in the Facebook group, he and Shane Artis would almost always answer with Emma Peel somehow, just as much as other people would try to answer Firefly.
Especially when the answer didn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It would always come back with Emma Peel somehow.
Somehow. And this is very fresh for us since it just happened. I've had several months to deal with losing PG. It hasn't gotten any better. There have been times that I was in a store, I saw something that I knew he'd love, and it wasn't very expensive, so I put it in my cart, and I started walking, and I had to remind myself, I can't give this to him at Balticon. So I had to put it back. Or I would try to send him a text or an email or something, and I'm like, oh, right, I can't. So definitely two very big people that we miss. There were other people that were lost throughout the community, but I didn't really know them so well. So they're not getting super special tributes. But they were special, I'm sure.
It's going to be a tearful Balticon this year, methinks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I expect to raise my glass many times in honor of our departed friends, which I do gladly. So,
Yes. It's just an awkward way of putting it.
Yes. I gladly raise a glass to my friends. I just wish I didn't have to.
Exactly. So yeah, 2014, this past year has been filled with ups and downs. The downs definitely can be felt throughout the year. But hopefully the ups weren't so fleeting. I'm at the tail end. See what I did there? Of a back injury that I've had for about, what do you think? Has it been 2 months now?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, tail end.
Oh, now I get it.
Which has pretty much put me out of commission for a lot of things. But it's just starting to get better, and I was told 2 more weeks, and I should be able to return to Aikido.
Woohoo!
Which, by the way, I've been taking Aikido.
Woohoo!
Did I mention that? Aikido's been fantastic for both of us.
Aikido was a thing I started many, many moons ago, and then thanks to my job, I moved away from it, and now that I've returned to Borden, the scene of the original crime, I've rejoined the original club. My second-degree black belt teacher is now a fifth-degree black belt teacher, and his son, who was an annoying little squirt, is now a third-degree black belt who enjoys hurting me way too much.
And while he may be little, he's not so squirtish. He's like a full-blown adult now.
No, he's 29. He's a full-grown man. The Aikido is the lazy man's martial art. It is the art of harmonizing with your opponent's energy to make them do the things they don't want to do. As I describe it to people, it's not the art I'd use in a fight. It's the art I'd use to make sure the fight never happens in the first place. It's
very defensive.
It's entirely defensive.
Yeah.
There's no punches or kicks. There's no traditional grappling or striking. The whole point of the art is diffusing energy. So large circular movements of the hands and feet to move yourself around. It's similar to Tai Chi in the way that it uses energy.
Yeah.
But you're using someone else's energy, which they loan you. it's old, it's ancient, it's a form of self-defense so that samurai didn't have to draw their swords. They could defend themselves without needing to use their other weapons. And it is entirely too much fun. The normal sound in a dojo of someone getting thrown is then followed by them laughing as they do not understand why they were just thrown across the room.
And it happens to be one of those arts that you hear this all the time. It doesn't matter how big you are. If you do the technique right, then your size doesn't matter. Except that's not true in many arts. You know, many arts that are all about strength. Yeah, if you're bigger than me, there's no way I can even get to use my technique on you. Whereas with Aikido, since it's all about fulcrums and levers and circles and using physics to your advantage and gravity to your advantage, it's very easy to be smaller and fight off a bigger person.
Something like judo and jiu-jitsu, where they say, you know, a smaller person can throw a larger opponent. Well, they're absolutely right, they can. But a smaller fighter has to use a better technique to be able to throw a larger opponent, because a larger opponent can cheat and use their mass to ground themselves. In Aikido, there is no such advantage or disadvantage. It is purely technique and skill. You cannot, as a big person, ground yourself. It doesn't work. Because if you ground yourself, I just let go and walk away.
Yeah.
It's the number one rule is to not get hit, so I'll just step away from you. It's when you step in, when somebody moves in to attack, they've left themselves open, and then they fall over. It has nothing to do with size. And that is so much fun, being a little dude.
Yes. And I love that it's all about circles, and most of your motion is coming from your hips. And being a person with very large hips... Big hips mean big circles. Big circles means lots of movement. So it works really well for me.
Wireless listeners, there is a list of techniques that I am forbidding the sensei from teaching our friend Nutty, because she will cripple me with them.
But the sensei does not listen, because he always loves to show me stuff that I will be extra good at.
Painful, my friends.
So we moved to Borden.
We did.
We should talk about that.
Welcome
a little
back
bit.
To Ontario.
Well, welcome back for you. I've never lived in Ontario before.
Hooray! I grew up here.
I had to learn to adjust to everything being done a little bit differently. The Ministry of Transport is way different than the East Coast, as is many other bureaucratic things.
No, well, it's the same thing as moving from state to state or...
True.
And, well, you'll find minor differences in how things are run, and Ontario is bigger, colder, smellier in the south because there's bigger cities and more people, and Ontario is very similar to where you're from. It's very similar to New York. It is a very, very large part of the country with many diverse ecosystems and types of people, except that there is one big city in the middle with all the people who clog all the votes who get to decide what's going on for the rest of it.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of similarities between Ontario and New York. Having lived in the East Coast in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, everything was very laid back, including, you know, getting your driver's license and registration and insurance. I mean, it was all like very easy, loosey-goosey. I mean, everything was done, but it wasn't so strict. Whereas in Ontario, there's a different place for every little thing that you have to do, and you have to pay four times as much for every little thing. And the food is cheaper.
Oh, yes. The food is definitely cheaper. But
But the reason we moved here is you got a promotion.
Yes. To bring this back to sci-fi for a quick second, dealing with the new drive test centers that they have in Ontario is like dealing with a Vogon bureaucracy.
Yes. I thought they were going to recite poetry to me.
One of those forms felt like I was reading poetry.
Is that what they do if you fail?
I hope not.
Aw.
Okay. Yes, I did get promoted. And hooray.
Hooray.
And now I'm the... one of the senior administrators at a trade school, which is kind of fun. My kids are problems. They're not kids. They're like 25. But they cause problems, and I try to help them, and I try to help my staff, and I try to make the school run properly and on time. It's like trying to keep the trains running, except my trains are courses.
Okay. And we'll ship those trains. All right.
Mm.
So let's talk about, now that we've gotten the life out of the way.
We'll ship those trains, so you'll put two trains together that you think should be in a relationship, and then you'll write fanfic about them?
You know what? You're getting the reference. I was making a reference from the Investigating Mars podcast. They took the whole shipping and got to the point of saying that they would ship trains, and it was all about... Anyway, go listen to Investigating Mars.
Some trains really are awesome. Pretty sexy. They could be shipped quite nicely.
Oh, yeah.
Mm, I'm sure.
So,
people are weird.
Yes.
Yes. Carry on.
And Investigating Mars, every time I went to record with them this year, Tech would say, wait, you're doing a podcast about Mars? I want to be on that. Veronica Mars. Oh.
Sad face.
Never mind. so,
but
yeah.
If anyone would like to join me talking about on a podcast talking about the planet Mars and how they recently discovered Beagle 2 and all the rest of it, let me know.
There you go. Maybe that'll be an episode for 2015. I've got a document in the Facebook group of ideas and people saying if they want to be on it. And I'm hoping to get through a lot of those ideas this year. So let's talk movies. What are some of your favorite movies of the year?
Of things that I've seen. A lot of the movies that we watched this year didn't come out this year. So we
doesn't matter if they didn't come out this year.
Okay, we watched them because they came out on Netflix this year. So let's talk about the most recent one. We watched Ted.
Oh, yes, we did. Ted was pretty good.
The Seth MacFarlane extravaganza.
That was a movie that we tried to go see in New Brunswick. But the weeks that it was at the theater, we just kept not being able to make it to the theater.
Mm. Very, very funny. Very Seth MacFarlane. He hired all of his friends to come together and make a live-action version of a Family Guy episode.
It was better than I thought it would be.
Oh, it was fantastic. And it had all the music that he's known for. It even had a couple cutaway gags. It was done very well. I enjoyed my time with it.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I will have to mention Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was a fantastic movie that surprised me. Like, when I first saw the trailers coming out, I thought, okay, I know nothing about this comic. I don't know what I'm going to think about it. And it looks a little cheesy. I mean, come on, a tree and a raccoon. And everybody I knew, all the comic book nerds that I knew, I would ask them. And many of them would say to me, oh, yeah, I've heard of it, but I've never actually read it. So that didn't help me. And the few who had read it just said, oh, it's really good. Okay, tell me more. No, it's really good. Just go.
I was really, really mad at Marvel when I started seeing the promotion material coming out for it. And as great as it looked and as great as the animation looked on Rocket Raccoon, all I could think was Rocket Raccoon. out of everything Marvel has, they won't give me a decent-looking Colossus. They won't give me a decent-looking Juggernaut. They won't give me a Deadpool movie that I want to talk about with my friends, but they'll give me Rocket Raccoon.
Wait, what's a raccoon?
Huh? Yeah, exactly. I don't even know what a raccoon is. I am one. And what do we get? And then, so I walk into the theater in a bit of a huff, expecting no good. And that opening scene when he presses play on the cassette player and dances through the wreckage to the greatest songs of the late 70s, I was in.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And I was along for the ride. I suspended my disbelief. So I will say this to movie directors. If you want to know how to make pretty girls pretty in your movies and how to do females in an action movie well, look at what they did to Zoe Saldana and Karen Gillan in Guardians of the Galaxy, because wow.
So, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy was a big one for me. I've got our list of Netflix things that we've rated. And I have to say that another big one for me, and I had never heard of this, but it was important to you that I watch this, was there's a movie made of the Harlock series, and it's called Harlock Space Pirate. And this is a show that you watched when you were a kid, right?
Oh, yes. Well, it was a comic book that I read when I was like six. And then there's the same artist has these other properties, Galaxy Express, Queen Esmeralda, Queen of the Space Pirates. You know, Captain Harlock himself is such an iconic figure of early 80s anime. It's one of the oldest still surviving series, along with things like Gundam and all these other things. And the movie is done in a very real style of computer animation, very similar to Final Fantasy Spirits Within.
It's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. And I thought I was going to like groan at some points, but it was really good. Like, I was sold. Not having seen any of the original material, this sold me. And it stayed true to the series, right?
Oh, yes. I was reading, there is some flack because along with the reimagining of the story, and this is a story that spanned, you know, 30, 40 years of books and movies and TV series and different iterations and different directors and producers. So what they did is they took one small story and enlarged it to make this movie. And a lot of fans were mad that they picked this story and not another one. A lot of fans were mad that they reimagined the ship. And Harlock's ship, whose name I've forgotten and now feel really bad for.
Oh, shoot. What is it?
Right, we're going to edit all this out.
No, we're not.
You're going to edit all this out.
Nope. It's all staying in.
Hold music.
Arcadia?
The battleship Arcadia. The way they reimagined it did annoy some fans. I loved it. I thought it was great. It looked like it did in my nightmares when I was six.
It looks like a train in space. And that's awesome.
But it's also got that whole raised stern section, like an old-timey pirate ship.
And the skull and crossbones on the front of the freaking ship, on the prow. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just so cool.
It is so space pirate. It was good. It was fun. There is another one that you're going to have to watch after this. There's a live-action movie of another great anime called The Space Battleship Yamato.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Which they did live action, okay. And my friend Andy and I watched. He made me watch snippets of it. It's very, very good.
But we didn't watch that in 2014.
No, we're going to, though.
Another thing is, in case you didn't listen to the whole Ruby episode we did, Ruby Season 2, that was really big.
Ruby! Okay,
that was awesome. According to Netflix, I finished watching Fringe in 2014, and I'm very happy to have gone back and watched that, because the first couple episodes, it's kind of dull, but they have to lay the groundwork and do the world building. And then once you get into it and you start to care about the characters, it becomes an amazing show. So that's awesome. We finally succumbed to Despicable Me.
Finally did.
Yes.
Not sorry.
Not sorry. It was really awesome.
I want to see the second one now.
Yeah. Yeah, I discovered Luther. That's the Idris Elba BBC series. That was pretty awesome. I really enjoyed that. I also discovered Ripper Street, which is another BBC series. And it's got Jerome Flynn in it as one of the main characters. And you may know him as Bronn in the Game of Thrones series on HBO. Throughout the series, they keep bringing people, other actors from Game of Thrones, to come on and guest star. And it's just fantastic. I mean, all great actors, interesting storyline. It's about a bunch of cops, basically in the area where Jack the Ripper did his killings, but it's all after that, you know, like shortly after Jack the Ripper stopped killing. And it's kind of like this new idea to have detectives and have police investigate crimes. So that's kind of neat. Call the Midwife is another BBC series that I watched, and I warn you, you will cry. And it may be one of these shows that more women might identify with it, and not so many men will, but either could. I hate to genderify anything, but yeah, it's very weepy, and it's all about babies and giving birth and stuff.
Watch with a friend. The girls are pretty.
They are really pretty, and it's kind of neat the history that they bring in. We saw Tucker and Dale versus Evil. That was fantastic. You remember that one? It's the one with Alan Tudyk.
Oh,
and
yes.
And he's the hillbilly, and it's like the classic cabin in the woods setup.
It's the classic setup for a horror movie, except the villains aren't villains, and they turn it on its head. If you enjoyed Cabin in the Woods for reasons that I am not going to talk about on this podcast,
exactly,
you're going to love this movie.
It's just, if you're a fan of any horror films, it's worth watching this movie, and it is a comedy, so it's fantastic.
It's a horror movie upside down.
This was not a high, I'll tell you. I've been listening to Christiana Ellis and Mike Mateen watch. They've been watching AFI's top 100 movies. And after hearing them talk about Taxi Driver, I finally watched it, and I hated it.
Oh.
I absolutely, absolutely hated it. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that times are different. People thought really weirdly back then, you know, I mean...
Did it make you want to kill the president?
You know, it really was kind of like a roadmap to giving somebody instructions to do that, because everything works out good for him.
What if Jodie Foster promised to love you? Would you kill the president?
Exactly. Like, I kind of get where John Hinckley went wrong. And the way that it's set up is just... Oh, it's just horrible. And... I did not enjoy it. And I've been told I'm wrong by people who are fans of film. But I think there is a huge difference if you watched it in its time and watching it now, how politics have changed and our society has changed. Well, it shows me that society has gotten better.
It's watching it out of context.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like The Watchmen and V for Vendetta... if you're watching them outside the context of Thatcherism, they're harder to understand. They did a good job with the recent movies of refreshing our minds about rampant fascism in the 80s.
Yes, but it's true. But there is context.
Out of context, it's hard to go back and watch some of this older stuff because you just don't get it no more.
Well, and that's the thing. I understand that I may be missing something because I don't have the context. But if you don't have the context, maybe you don't want to watch this movie. Mm. Just saying. How I Met Your Mother finished up this year.
Mm. Or last year, and we finally got around
this
to
year
watch it.
In the spring.
Oh, okay.
It's still this year. And your thoughts on the whole series?
Glad that it got enough seasons to tell the arc that they wanted. Mm-hmm. Glad that it happened. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all the seasons. You know, some were definitely better than others.
Yep.
They were able to keep a solid cast together, very, very funny, and tell a good story. Sad that they went the direction that they did with the finale, that they could have gone a couple of different ways, and they decided to go the hokey tearjerker way, and that made me unhappy. But it sounds so bad to say that I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, well, you're glad it's finished. And not just going on until nobody likes it anymore.
Exactly. It went on long enough. I feel that the jokes matured, mm-hmm. and the characters matured enough that I didn't feel any of the running gags get stale.
Yep.
And, you know, if you think back to the 80s and 90s sitcoms, the character of Barney Stinson would have been played like Urkel. and and he would have had a catchphrase in episode, and it would have been done badly. I think they did their little bit characters, and they did the running gags credit.
He would have been Kirk Cameron, basically.
Okay.
Like from Growing Pains, because I'm trying to think of other womanizers, you know. But he would have been like Kirk Cameron, and it would have gotten hokey, and
it would have been played out. Yeah, exactly. The Uncle Jesse's mercy.
Oh yeah, exactly. Uncle Jesse. That's a really good one too. Who also got quote unquote tamed. But no, a lot of people didn't like the last episode. They didn't like how that went. I kind of liked it. I thought it was good. There are a couple of things, like I feel like, you know, secondary characters pretty much just got wrapped up in a nice little epilogue. But I don't know. I liked it. And again, it gives you a feeling of completion now that it's done. The story is told and it's pretty good. So I was happy with that.
Indeed.
I discovered the show, The Mindy Project, and you even watched that with me.
A couple episodes. She is quite funny.
That's very hysterical. Funny. And then we discovered quite possibly the best and worst show on Netflix, BoJack Horseman.
BoJack Horseman is a Netflix original cartoon starring Will Arnett as a down-and-out 80s sitcom actor struggling to write his memoirs.
And he's a horse.
He's a horse. BoJack Horseman. You get what they did there?
Yeah, okay. And his agent is a cat, and one of his, like, contemporaries, I guess.
Host of another 80s sitcom.
Yeah, is a dog. But Mr. they also have these relationships with, like, just people. And it's completely weird and bizarre, but the voice acting is fantastic, and it's worth watching. Don't watch it with your kids. It's not that kind of cartoon.
No.
Kids have to be in bed. But yes, it's hysterical. And even though it has, like, all this dumb humor, it had a really good story. And you found yourself caring about these characters.
Right. He's in a on again, off again relationship with his agent. He starts to develop feelings for his ghostwriter that his publisher sends him. Oh, his publisher's Penguin Publishing, and he's an actual penguin, which is quite funny, and they do play up that gag a couple times. But Will Arnett is fantastic.
Yes.
He does a great job as a voice actor. The rest of the cast they have is it's star-studded and in the voice acting world,
yeah,
and they're very, very good. It plays a lot like a... It reminds me a lot of shows like Arrested Development or My Name is Earl,
mm-hmm,
and that type of comedy show. If you can get your head around those and you find yourself laughing at those, you will really, really, really like
it's
BoJack
like
Horseman.
It's like smart, stupid comedy. Like, there's this genre of, like, stupid comedy, but this would fit in there, but it's really smart.
Mm. Just the, you know, I went back and watched it all a second and I think a third time to catch all of the little visual gags and the little visual cues and the puns that they put in. Like, his agent is a cat, so she has, like, a scratching post on the edge of her desk.
Her dress has fish on it.
Her dress has fish on it.
Or,
always
or
like a little
Mr.
Mouse
Peanut Butter, the dog, he sees the mailman and he starts chasing after it in his sports car.
And he's got, paintings, beautiful large oil paintings of tennis balls in his living room because he's a dog. He likes tennis balls.
That's fantastic. So is there any other TV shows or movies that you can think of that really jumped out at you this year?
No.
I'm sure we'll
kick ourselves later. Oh, there's another movie that you watched from 2007 that I forced you to watch.
What's that?
Another important one called Kuro Obi.
Oh yes, that was this year. That's 2015.
Well, it's since your last review, so yes, it counts in the year in review. Kuro Obi came out in 2007. It means the black belt. It is a Japanese-made martial arts movie with none of the chop, socky, wire, foo that you see in other martial arts movies. All of the actors are third-degree black belts or higher, and it is very traditional, very real karate set in a period piece in the early 1930s Imperial Japan. Well worth watching if you like martial arts flicks. If you're a martial artist yourself, or you want to know what real karate looks like and not what you've seen in other movies, watch Kuro Obi.
Yeah, that was really good. And it's one of those movies that after you watch it, you kind of have to think about it for a little while.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It has to like resonate, like marinate with you.
There's concepts in the movie, in the techniques that they showed, and concepts of the philosophy of martial arts. I can't think of another piece of media that has affected how I think about what I do in Aikido more than that movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other piece of media that's affected me like this one has. It's a philosophical one. It makes you think.
Yeah, yeah.
We are Clone Dance Party, an Orphan Black Introcast.
There was so many questions that weren't answered that I was like, well, but I have to know.
Vic doesn't seem that smart. I don't know what Sarah was doing with him.
That's a really a testament to the actors, because I really feel like they're different people. So yeah. She's really doing a good job.
I totally agree, Lynette. I forget that they're the same person.
I am totally unobjective about Allison. I love that character to death.
She became my least favorite clone.
Clone Dance Party in iTunes, on Facebook, and on Twitter.
There's a lady with a podcast, and sometimes she gets mail, and that's why we call this segment The Feedback.
Okay, so now we're going to go to the feedback in the Facebook group. I asked this question at the end of December, and the Mixed Nutcases answered.
Thank you, Nutcases.
Yes. Emily says she really enjoys the podcast outside of the Flash Mobsters. She has made it her effort to listen to as many podcasts as she can from people who are fans of Flash Pulp, which is, I'm sure you've heard me talk about. It's short fiction, and they've got a really great community. So in addition to those, she enjoys Strangers, Serial, and Criminal. I only really have heard of Serial. I haven't listened to the others, but those are going to be pretty good. JRD Skinner says True Detective was the highlight of his year. I still haven't watched that. I'd like to. I started watching it using HBO Go, but it was really slow at the time and it kept buffering. So I've got to wait to get my hands on that. Davia says, I agree. True Detective was lots of fun. I also loved Arrow and Continuum. My favorite TV show has got to be Treme, which I discovered this year. There is a tie for favorite movie, Nightcrawler and Snowpiercer. They were great, unconventional stories. Guardians of the Galaxy was just a fun romp. Agreed.
Indeed.
Will Johnson, a host of the Down Below podcast and the Briscoe County Junior podcast, I believe. True Detective, Serial, Fargo. Was Captain America this year? Edge of Tomorrow. I think he's talking about Captain America Winter Soldier. I think that was this year.
Mm.
You haven't finished that.
No.
You have to finish it before you can make an opinion on it.
Mm.
He didn't like the beginning.
I didn't.
Spoilers. I liked it, but I didn't like it as much as the first Captain America. I think the first Captain America was by far better. But I really like when they do time-moded, timepieces. Hank says, for me, live streaming TVN Storm Chasing Broadcasts, a CBC 10-hour podcast series called Adults Read Things They Wrote as Kids. That's actually kind of cute, that one.
They also did that on, they also aired those on CBC Radio.
Yep.
Yes.
Discovering the Swedish TV series Real Humans, and perhaps that Mockingjay movie. Oh yeah, that was this year. I liked it, actually. I will have to agree. The Mockingjay movie, I liked the Mockingjay movie better than the Mockingjay book. I also liked it better than the first two movies. I still think the first book is the strongest.
What have I seen? I've seen up to Catching Fire, right?
Yes, you saw Catching Fire, or at least half of it. Heidi says Guardians of the Galaxy and the Veronica Mars movie. That's right, that did come out. I really enjoyed the Veronica Mars movie. There were a lot of like in references and nods to the fans, but I think so. It was kind of neat.
I hope so. It was financed by fans.
Exactly.
If you're going to have a Kickstarter that goes gangbusters and makes millions and millions of dollars to fund your project, you might as well tip your hat to the people who made it possible.
Yeah, this is when fan service is not only okay but kind of required. Absolutely, I agree. And by the way, there is a web series on CW Seed. You can only watch that if you're in the States, unfortunately. But it's a web series kind of about Dick Cassablancas. It's the actor playing himself trying to start a web series. Anyway, it's really funny. Go watch it. Let's see. Aaron Jackson says, the start of the Prisoner intro cast and beginning podcasting myself. Also finding the thrilling Adventure Hour podcast. Oh, yes. Zach Mann says, John Bell's Devil's Pinata audiobook, BBC Good Omens audio drama, the music Annie by Starkid Productions, taking advantage of CHSR's misfortune. Oh, that's right. He donated money to get a producer credit, which then had us along with Epic doing a My Little Pony episode, which I think we actually did two episodes, didn't we?
Yes, we hate you, Zach.
Man. Yes, we Zach, totally hate you.
Zach Mann was given the producer right to choose the topic for an episode, a joint episode of Nutty Bites and Epic. The topic he picked was My Little Pony. You know, it's a two-parter. I suggest you find it. It is very, very funny.
Yes.
The staggering thing that we found was halfway through the first episode is that we didn't really dislike it. And we actually had a lot to say about it because it was really well done.
It
was good.
Yeah, it was not like punishment or torturous for us. We're actually pretty thankful that Zach Mann did that. Many of the other hosts are dads, so they already were quite familiar with My Little Pony.
That's just a built-in excuse.
And so for Tech and I, we watched it just for that, you know, research purposes only. And we found we really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he also says, becoming a supervillain, then forcing Epic to do My Little Pony show. See, I should have finished reading that. Bill Horsecotter says, Ruby the series, which he just discovered because of the special Ruby episode we did.
Ruby is so good.
Yes. Bob DeGran says, TV, Black Mirror, podcast. I have no connection with Dusted. I'm sure he's been very happy about the two new podcasts he did this year, which were three new podcasts. It was the wrestling one, Clone Dance Party, and In the Village. Shane Poole says, TV, Orphan Black, podcast, The Babylon Project.
Orphan Black is another thing from this year that you've been watching.
Yeah, that's new for me, actually. Yeah, Orphan Black and The Prisoner. Both of them I am newbies watching along with, and I'm hooked. I mean, they're really good. Like, Orphan Black has some fantastic pacing. There are no bad shows. They're just really, really good. And The Prisoner is really engaging, considering it was back in the 60s. Like, normally old TV shows like that, they kind of lose your interest sometimes. So it was definitely cool. And before we move on from feedback, I've got a piece of feedback that has been sitting in my inbox since we did the female superheroes. And this is from Robin Burge. Was listening to your podcast on female superheroes. You mentioned a protester being humiliated by Wonder Woman and whether that was a real thing or not. Just so you know, even though it's officially not part of DC canon, this was also not fan art. I'm fairly certain this was from an issue of Smallville Season 11, the digital comic series. This series is being done by Brian Q. Miller, who did the Batgirl series, which was amazing and hilarious, but was a casualty of the New 52 relaunch of the DC Universe. Still, Stephanie Brown deserves a mention for being a great female superhero, even though she was the fifth Batgirl. Good discussion. Thanks a lot, Robin. And I actually went and found some of those issues, thanks to him telling me where to find them, which is awesome. And Robin Burge is, oh gosh, he's got too many podcasts to remember, but Potential Cast and a whole bunch of others. Just Google him or look him up on Facebook. There's a million there that he's done. He's one of those other, those podcasting giants. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to podcasts. And Tech, before I move on to podcasts, are there any specific podcasts that you can think of that were big for you for 2014 new?
Sadly, my friends, my wireless listeners, I am not a huge consumer of media. The biggest thing I've watched on Netflix this year was Futurama reruns. But when it comes to podcasts, I don't listen to many, or I pick episodes and snippets apart, and I really choose the media that I consume. I don't mainline podcasts like other people. I don't have the time to throw the headphones on. I don't have a big commute to work, and I work at a school. I don't have the time at work to listen to it at my desk like other people are so lucky to do. So for me, there's only been two podcasts in the past year. They're not new, but they're new to me. So Coverville with Brian Ibbett has to be mentioned as a big consumption of my time. And joining the crew of the USS Relativity as they review Star Trek episodes and the podcast Trek No Log Track. No! Logic.
Yes. We listen to those a lot on long drives. And you've been actually listening to some of the epics that you weren't on.
Oh,
and
yes.
And you listened to some of the Talk Nerdy to Me Halloween things this year.
Oh, yes. Talk Nerdy to Me.
Yeah.
Always a great podcast, and always good to have them around and co-hosting from time to time.
Talk Nerdy to Me, for the second year in a row, did 31 horror movie reviews, and they were released every day in October, and it was fantastic. I think this year was even better than last year's. So, because they brought a lot of guests on, and they really went through a lot of movies. And the best part is, I find more entertaining is when they've got a movie that's really bad, and they tear it apart. It's often funnier than, you know, good movies.
Well, they got more people beating down the doors to talk about bad movies than they did about the good ones.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, bonus points to them for one, wanting to review Tremors, and two, letting me have the ability to go on and talk about one of my favorite movies of all time, and three, letting me rant and have an avenue for a rant about the gunplay in that movie.
Absolutely. Okay, so another podcast that you appeared on this year was Wake the F Up.
Oh, did my episode of that get released?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't think he was going to use that.
Oh, no, he used it.
Oh.
So for me, In the Village, a Prisoner Intercast, which obviously I'm very into because it's what made me watch the show.
Giant floaty balls.
Oh my gosh, Rover is awesome. I can't believe I'm saying that.
It was a weather balloon.
Yes.
It was a floaty weather balloon.
Clone Dance Party, which is for Orphan Black. Let's see. I've started listening again to Evil Genius, Hidden Node, Chuck Chat again, and Derek Coward's Noise. Mostly, a lot of these shows are shows that I listened to in my early days of podcasting when, you know, there were like 15 podcasts out. And I kind of lost them throughout the years. You know, often whenever you change computers or whatever, you lose your subscriptions and you end up not adding everything back on and things happen. Well, I rediscovered them through the dog days of podcasting that happened in August. And by the way, that was a great project. I will be doing that again this year. That was just absolutely, completely fantastic. Geek Acres started the Agents of Plastic podcast, which is all about toys, you know, like action figures and Legos and things of that nature. So that was pretty awesome. Trying to see if this note, that one was older than a year.
scroll.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through my podcasts just to remind myself what was new this year. Oh, Down Below, I think, is new this year. That is a great podcast. It's all about Babylon 5. It's an intro cast. Heidi and Elizabeth are the newbies. They are fantastic newbies. It's one of the few intro casts where they're really excited for every episode. Even the first season, they were completely hooked. And often in intro casts, because they're older shows and the pacing is different, you have to keep promising the newbies, don't worry, you'll get into it, you'll get into it. That did not have to happen. And the veterans are Ian and Will, and they are just fantastic and also really, really passionate about it. And that's my favorite thing, is when people are passionate. And the Bicast. Bicast is Lynette McFadden's podcast. It's all about bisexuality. When she started, she was basically learning from ground zero. I actually helped her out with a couple of things. I did a nice little lesson for her and her co-host. And from their first episode on, you can hear them improve with audio quality and the cadence of their interviewing and how things are put together. And now they're a really nice, polished show, and it's fantastic. And they get these guests that are really important and from all over the spectrum. You know, they've got authors, they have scientists, they have social workers, they have advocates. It's a pretty neat show, so cool. You should give it a listen, whether you are bisexual or not. I find it very informative and really interesting to listen to. So I think that's it on the podcast for now. I'm sure I forgot something. I always forget something when I go through these. I actually can't think of any music that I was really excited about this year. Can you?
The release of the latest Daft Punk album.
That was last year. We talked about it in the 2013 wrap-up.
Did we?
Yes.
Where has the last year gone?
I don't know. I think for us, though, music-wise, it's been all the shows we've been able to go to here in Ontario.
Oh, yes.
Because the bands that we like that wouldn't come far enough east. So we got to see, this year we got to see Bloody Diamonds, we got to see Kill Matilda, we got to see Japanese Girls, with no vowels, and, and Balaclava.
Oh yes, Balaclava, such a good show.
Gulf of Mexico Rock, I mean, it's pretty awesome. And there's just so many, bands that I'm hoping to see. Mm. But it was really exciting for you to get to see Kill Matilda because you've been listening to them, but you had never seen them. I saw them live many years ago.
If you've ever wanted to hear what a zombie-killing rock band sounds like, you want to listen to Kill Matilda.
Absolutely.
Their lead singer, Dusty, screams. It is such a wonderfully sexy sound, the way she can scream into a microphone at the top of her lungs. And it's not in any way grating. It is just such a wonderful noise that she makes. And she sings well, and the band sounds awesome, and the beat is nice and heavy. And it is good. You know, middle of the night, you want to drive angry music, listen to Kill Matilda.
And you got to wear your Clockwork Doctor costume, because we went on Halloween and you won, of course.
To watch a zombie killing punk band. You won the costume contest. I did win a costume contest, yes. but a Halloween show,
yeah,
about a zombie killing punk band. Oh, yeah.
That was pretty awesome. And then I just remembered Sumo Psycho. Is it Sumo Psycho? Yeah, their album came out. I said Balaclava earlier, not Sumo Psycho, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Sometimes I put the wrong thing. Sumo Psycho's album came out this year, and that was really awesome. And I don't know if Cool's album Paint came out this year or if I just discovered it this year, but that was really awesome, too.
So on that topic, I will say the big lesson that we learned living out east, and I'll tell this to everyone here, there is a local music scene in your community that you may or may not know about. And if you don't, go to a club and watch a show, support your local artists, because guess what? They're a lot better than you think they are.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like anything. You know, there are going to be some acts that are not as good as others, and that's unavoidable. But there is more music out there than what you hear on your top 40 radio stations.
And there are times that you'll hear somebody and go, oh, my gosh, that band sucks. And then a couple of years later, you'll hear them again and go, wow.
Yeah, they grew.
They got they better. Developed.
If you're sick and tired, like I am, of the regurgitated recording company crud that gets thrown out on terrestrial radio airways, go find your local music scene. Go to a show, sit down, have a pint of your favorite beverage, and listen to some local music. And I guarantee you there's something in your style, and I guarantee you there's a band that you're going to like. And they're approachable, usually.
Oh, yeah. They're more than happy to talk to you about music. I mean, you go to a local show, and after they play, you know, you buy them a drink, or you just go up and say hi and tell them what their music meant to you, and they are overjoyed, because that is the best thing for a struggling musician, is to hear that people appreciate what they do, that living in a van and not being able to shower every day and having to dye your hair in a mall and, you know, eating gross food just to get to your next gig, it's all worth it when a fan comes up and tells you, you guys rocked, this was an awesome night, and that just makes their day and that keeps them going. And I'm telling you, if you listen to Top 40, what you're going to find out there is so much better. because they're putting their heart into it. Mm. They're putting their everything into it. You may run into some acts that are not so great, but you're going to run into a lot of acts that are fantastic. Support your indie music scene, for
right.
sure.
Support your indie music scene. Support your local artists does not mean that you have to lower your standards in any way. Support local talent. If you find local talent or indie talent that you like, show that with your pocketbook. Show that with your Facebook and your Twitter and your social media. A lot of them are active on social media. Support them, share them, like them, subscribe to their video feeds, and be that guy or girl. You know, support them, like them, tell your friends about them, because that's worth more to them than anything else.
And if you have a campus community radio station, request that they play them. And also listen to some of their shows. I know you, when you turn on and you hear yodeling and you're thinking, I'm never going to listen to that station again. Don't worry. That's just that hour. They play something else later. So you'll learn a lot of the local music scene if you happen to have one of those radio stations. Sadly, we don't have one here.
Sadly, no.
No. But that's it. So 2014, lots of highs, some lows. 2015, probably going to have some highs and lows too, already starting with that. Hmm. But I don't know. I'm holding out hope.
Me too. There's a lot of good movies, a lot of good media coming. I mean, we got a Star Wars movie coming this year.
No, that's next year. December. That's 2016, isn't
December
it?
December 2015.
Oh, okay.
Is it not?
I think it is. You may be right.
And if not, then we've got, if we don't have a Star Wars movie coming this year, it means we have a year full of teasers, trailers, snippets, fan theories, and more arguing about whether Kuions can actually be used on a sword or not. Those are the two extra little blades on the lightsaber that everyone got so mad. Oh.
We may end up doing a show about that.
Hooray!
It's either going to be done on Nutty Bites or on Epic, but I'm going to make that happen. And the next episode of Nutty Bites is so fantastic, you're never going to want to listen to another show ever again.
You will blow out your eardrums.
Bye. Say bye.
Oh, goodbye.
On the DexterCast, we follow the adventures of America's favorite serial killer, with two of us watching for the first time.
There's nothing funny about serial killers, but yes, there is. We're going to watch Dexter. You watch this, right? What? Which Dexter? That's credit to Michael C. Hall.
You think it's a credit to the actor and not the writer?
Oh, no, the writers don't have anything to do with this.
Michael C. Hall is one of the people that can do a great voiceover, and the voiceover is almost a character in itself.
This is called the Spock problem. How did human writers write a character without emotions? And I think the answer always winds up being they don't. I kept imagining Darla being Dexter's girlfriend.
She wouldn't have none of Dexter's standards. What do you mean? No children. Babies are the best.
I mean, it made the Madame Dane look so sinister. I'm not sure I want to eat eggs again.
Oh, one of the most sinister things is the tooth flossing.
I know. Okay, is he about to strangle somebody?
Creepiest moment of the first season.
Creepy.
Creepy. Creepy.
Now, many of the other hosts are dads. I'll just re-say that.
This is great radio right here.
Shush you. Oh.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.